Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Now, Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. And for Luke, then everything that happens after this is on the way to Jerusalem. Interestingly, in chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples, because he has set his face to Jerusalem, are rejected by a Samaritan village. And if you don't quite remember that account, maybe this will help refresh your mind. This is the account where James and John step up in true Christian love and fellowship and offer to call down fire upon the village and kill everybody there for not welcoming them. Lord have mercy. Then in chapter 10, Jesus, it appears, is trying to correct his disciples' false understanding of love your neighbor as yourself. And he tells them the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's trying to teach them that the Samaritans are their neighbors too. I think Luther, I was reading, and in a lecture he wrote on Galatians, the book of Galatians, he sums up who our neighbor is quite well when he writes, "Now our neighbor is any human being, especially one who needs our help, as Christ interprets in Luke chapter 10. Even one who has done me some sort of injury or harm has not shed his humanity on that account or stopped being flesh and blood, a creature of God, very much like me. In other words, he does not stop being my neighbor. Therefore, as long as human nature remains in him, so long the commandment of love remains in force, requiring of me that I not despise my own flesh and not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans 12:21. In Luke chapter 17, it seems to be Jesus is teaching his disciples with this example, with this account of the 10 lepers, and Luke, in writing chapter 17 the way he does, of how faith has to be living and active. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 17 direct us to the fact that we need to keep our doctrine pure for the sake of the little ones. Verses 3 and 4 call us to forgiveness. Verses 5 and 6 is the sad state of our own faith when we are reminded that whether we think we have strong faith or a little faith, none of us have even the faith of a mustard seed. And then verses 7 through 10 deals with the rewards of faithfully doing our duty, which is you did your duty. And now our text today, which includes at the end, faith being rewarded. Now, just a quick sidebar, if you will, so that everybody's caught up to why the Samaritans were despised so much. The Samaritans were a half Jewish, half Gentile race of people who lived in Samaria after the Assyrians had conquered the Israelites in the 8th century BC. They were despised by the Jews of Judah to the south and those from Galilee to the north. And as Jesus is continuing towards Jerusalem, it's not then surprising on his way that he come upon Samaritans, nor would it be surprising as he's passing a village or a town to come upon some people who were leprous. They were required, you see, by Mosaic law to live outside the town. They were supposed to live alone, but as you know, misery loves company, and so they would group up. And apparently, Jews and Samaritans could get along when they were both sick and outcasts. You could recognize these leprous people because the men would have to tear their clothes. They'd have to wear their hair down, loose. They would have to, and this was something until this week, really. I had always thought when they had to cover their upper lip, that meant this, and they had to talk to you like that. what it meant in the Hebrew, it's very clear, it's to grow a mustache. So don't go home though and tell your husbands or boyfriends that because they have a mustache they have leprosy or something. Please don't. And then they were to shout when anybody came near to them, unclean, unclean, to protect people from getting a contagious disease. So our text has 10 men crying out for help. And in a way, it brings to my mind the account from the Old Testament where Elijah heals Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army. He was instructed by Elijah, actually by one of Elijah's servants, to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. And he didn't find that very important. He didn't think that was a good idea. But finally he acquiesced and did it. And he was cleansed because he obeyed the word of God that God's prophet had spoken. Now Jesus, the word incarnate, speaks to the 10, telling them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they go, they were cleansed. It's also important at this point to note that Jesus doesn't have to heal any of the 10. He didn't have to heal these leprous men. I mean, when St. Paul prayed for the thorn in his flesh to be removed from him, the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And I bring this up so that we don't fall into the trap of the theology of glory, thinking that God owes us because we asked. Jesus heals these lepers only to bring glory to God, and in so doing, show us an example of God's grace, that undeserved and unmerited love. John 1 records this way, and from the fullness we have received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus, God brings his mercy for all. Our sins, you see, are like leprosy because they force us outside. They separate us from one another. And our only cry, our only hope, is to cry out in desperation, Lord, have mercy on us. We cried out this morning when we said, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We confessed our guilt, and now we beg, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And even before we asked, Jesus answered. Through his word and his work, our sin is forgiven. We are bought with a price, Jesus' very life. His body, his blood shed for our sins. You want to talk about something to be thankful for? There you go. Now our high priest washes away our sins in the waters of holy baptism, not 7 times in the Jordan, but in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as his word purifies all water connected to it to be a holy washing and cleansing of our sins. This mercy is further given to his baptized brothers and sisters as we come to the Lord's table and receive him in this Thanksgiving feast that will last for all eternity. And now we receive a foretaste, only a foretaste of his very body and blood that nourishes our sin-starved souls. There, these are given along with the word, the primary means of grace, to strengthen our faith. He who forgives us, may we always be willing to have faith in he who forgives us, because he forgives us of all our sins, even those that we won't ever mention, that we know and haunt us. This is truly something to give thanks for. And how do we show thanks to God? Really simple, by serving your neighbor in love. Never forget that the psalmist has already assured you, as God spoke through the psalmist in Psalm 103 that he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. All your prayers, all your cries for deliverance are given you, and I can guarantee you this, you will be healed. What I can't tell you is when. What I can't tell you is, will it be temporary or will it be permanent? If it's temporary, it's this side of heaven. If it's permanent, it means you have to wait until you're there. But because your sins are forgiven, and I can guarantee you that because Jesus died and rose again on the third day, your sins, my sins are forgiven, you will be healed. You will be whole. And life in it eternal is yours. This gift of God's grace creates then grateful hearts, as we see modeled by the one. 10 were healed, but one returned and fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, prostrates himself in front of Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. And while 9 did not return to give thanks, let's not be too harsh to judge them either, as often is the case. They perhaps only wanted to thank Jesus by doing exactly what he said, by fulfilling the letter of the law. Go show yourself to the priest. This is easy to understand, as we often strive to live only by the letter of the law ourselves. This is the difference, you see, between faith and knowledge. Knowledge desires restrictions. Faith is busy and active. It is assumed that the 9 who didn't return are Israelites. And the attitude of the Samaritan should have been the attitude of all Israel at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This long-promised Messiah had come to crush the serpent's head at the place of the skull. But only God-given faith responds by seeking to be where Jesus has promised to be. May we always continue to imitate the faith of the Samaritan. For Jesus brings us into God's presence and lets us give all thanks and praise to God, not just here in church, but in all that we do each and every day. For this forgiveness of sins through Jesus prepares us for our perpetual glory. Rise and go your way, he says to the Samaritan. Your faith has made you well. The Samaritan, you see, is not only outwardly clean, but by the gift of faith, he is eternally clean. This God-given faith has made him well. So along with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, let us this day and every day join in giving thanks to our Lord while it is still called today. So whether you have a lot or a little, whether you're poor in health or great in health, whether you have a large family around you or you're by yourself, you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Your sins are forgiven. Life eternal is yours by grace through faith on account of the person and works of Jesus the Christ. Need I say more? Today, our cry for mercy has been answered. Our sins are forgiven. We are clean by the blood of the Lamb of God, and our God-given faith makes us well. So come today to the Lord's table and receive the foretaste of the feast that is to come. Receive Jesus given and shed for the remission of your sins. In this God-given faith, let us then be faithful in coming to where Jesus has promised to be and give him thanks, knowing that he has promised to take us to be with him for all eternity. So, dear friends in Christ, happy Thanksgiving. May God continue to richly bless all the members of Pilgrim and all the pilgrims everywhere who follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we can continue to give him all thanks and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.